With the touring car season only days away, we bring you up to date with all of the moves and shaking in the off-season.
Hello and welcome back to the British Touring Car Podcast. We are into April, and although I had jested about it, I didn't put any April Fools out there, although some of the teams did. But we're going to catch you up with all the news that we've learned since our last podcast. If you haven't gone and watched that or listened to that already, go and do that now so you're caught up, all up to date.
Absolutely. In sort of podcast HQ news, we've hung the flag properly, which is very good. So that's another little win ahead of the season. And media day is only a couple of days away. In fact, by the time this podcast is out, I don't know when your editing and outing plans to be, but
tonight
there should only be a couple of days away from when you listen to this podcast, which is, we're at the end of this news roundup, we'll go through what you can expect on media day if you're going, and if you're not going, how you can follow from home.
Yeah, we're going to be heading down there. I think it's Wednesday, isn't it?
It is.
So we're really hoping that the weather holds out.
And if you are there and you see us, feel free to come and say hello. And we have got some very exciting, there you go, look at that, shiny for the camera.
Shiny
stickers, which we will give out free of charge if anybody wants one. So just pop along and say hi and demand a sticker. And if you're lucky, we'll give you one.
Yeah, we'd love to know your thoughts on the season if we meet you in person.
I was going to say on your thoughts on the stickers.
If we meet you during the season at media day or even in the comments down below, let us know how you think things are going to develop. And we'll bring you up to date with the news that's happened in the meantime.
Absolutely. So first on the agenda, we covered it very briefly on our last podcast because we did an emergency voice note in the car. Mikey Doble has been announced as the final piece of the jigsaw at PMR Racing. So he completes the lineup with Moffitt on his side of the garage of the LKQ sponsorship, and then Dexter Patterson under the awesome banner with PMR on the other side of the garage. No real surprise on this one.
No, and it was nice to see those cars out at Croft, although they cut it very tight to the deadline of actually having the cars ready. Believing rumours, that was the first turn of the wheel for those cars. Obviously, they've built the brand new Audi A3 saloons this season.
And they look, in my opinion, fantastic.
They do.
They look really mean. They look like, it's hard to describe it, but they just look like touring cars. They look like proper race cars.
I think they really suit the LKQ livery as well. I'm not as keen on Dexter's awesome sponsored
PMR. I think there'll be more to come on that one.
Agreed. I think there will be more to come on that one. But you know what I'm like with a busy livery.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be massively busy, but I think there will be a few more sponsors to go on that car. Now, of course, one thing that is just important to mention on how this all works and why some teams may not have tested so far is that it's not free to go testing. You have to buy your tyres, you have to buy your fuel, all that kind of stuff. So it may well be that some of Dexter's sponsors are sponsoring for the season but not paying for the testing. So therefore, why would you put them on the car if they're not paying for the event you're testing at, etc., etc.? So I would expect to see on those kind of cars some more, and indeed the BMW, which went out blank, and Hyundai, which we'll get to, which went out blank, those sponsors will come on board as the season begins, you would have thought.
Yeah, we did have the majority of the teams at test day at Croft, minus some fairly obvious ones. Obviously, we've already mentioned that Unlimited Motorsport won't be joining us for the 2026 season. Crucially, One Motorsport were nowhere to be seen, as kind of expected.
Yeah, and they're not on the grid. They're not on the, and look, if they turn up at media day, I will be stunned, but they are not on the grid.
Yeah.
It will be announced at media day, is my suspicion.
They're and not there the were, grid. At that point, only two Virtue cars running, both the Toms, Ingram and Chilton.
And only two BMWs running. Yes. So the third BMW was there. It was in the truck. It still had the number 7 on it, but only De Leon and Rainford took to the track for the Croft test, which we might as well discuss. We'll go slightly out of order. So in that Croft test, as you say, all teams got running. It's very hard to really
take anything from testing.
You can't, because on paper or electric screens, the Plato cars were a little bit slow to begin with and got better as the day went on. However, let's not forget, brand new car, probably a case of just get out the lads and put some miles through the system. We're not worried too much. Don't find the limit, don't find the wall, as Buxton would do later in the day in his Toyota. Just, you know, this data gather, and then we'll build as the day develops. And actually, as the day went on, they did get faster and got a bit more competitive.
Yeah, there is a little part of my brain that goes, Plato is one of these drivers or team principals now that will go, don't show anything too early.
Yeah, there's that as well.
If they got that underlying pace there, I think they would have filled those tanks up and done running for as much time as possible to make sure the reliability is good, make sure all the systems on board are working as they should, when they should, and that they're able to set up and tweak the car in the right way for both drivers as well. And if there is that underlying speed there, I don't think he's willing to show it until we get to that opening round of Donington.
Yeah, there's always going to be a little bit of that as well, as you say, a bit of sandbag. And we see that in all forms of motorsport and testing. So that's not a great surprise. And so you can't take too much out of testing. However, the team and drivers at the quickest were the ones you'd expect. It was Sutton, it was Napa, it was Ingram, it was Virtue. However, there was a new track record for Croft set during this testing period, and it was Dow De Leon, still to be confirmed, at WSR in the BMW, who managed to set a 120.4, which is quicker than Tom Ingram's pole lap of last season. So maybe Croft is coming back to the BMW rear-wheel drives.
Quite possibly, or we've just got more powerful touring cars this season.
Possibly so.
You mentioned Napa were running there. Interestingly, they were running five cars. Now, you might question why.
Five drivers,
yeah. Proctor was out there testing for them. Obviously, he's in part of the driver development program and helping Sam Osborne for the season, so he kind of needs to know how the car goes around the track himself to be able to give Sam that guidance.
I also have suspicions that he will be stepping in at some point of the season, but
yeah, so do I.
And I think that might be a slight plan in the back of Napa's mind, because he's done, I hear exactly what you're saying about he needs to know the car if he's going to coach somebody, but he did a lot of laps of somebody that's just a reserve driver. Now, okay, fair enough. It's always good to have a reserve driver that can step in if you're ready. But also, Proctor knows what he's doing. This is not someone that's been away from the grid for years upon years upon years. We saw him last year.
But he needs to learn that.
Yeah, I do agree. But he did a hell of a lot of laps for just a reserve driver. Put it this way, Mick Schumacher was not doing that level of laps when he was reserve driving at wherever he was. Was it Mercedes?
He struggled to do that amount of laps when he was racing.
Stoffel Van Dorn has not done that many laps as his reserve driver, or Giovinazzi, or whoever else. Obscure F1 driver who's now in a testing program has done. So that stuck out to me. I think we may see Proctor at some point in the season, but we shall see how that goes.
Yeah, and it'd be good to have him back, because we saw what his pace brought last season.
Absolutely. In terms of cars we saw running, Virtue have released their livery for the two Toms, and if you've not seen it yet, imagine last year's car and you're pretty much there. It's there's a few tweaks. It's a little bit underwhelming, in my opinion.
Their graphic designer has had an easy winter, shall we say.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And wrote in a little bit of money for going, oh, we'll just change the proportions of the colours slightly. Yeah, done.
I mean, the more interesting part about the livery reveal is that Ingram is running 80, not one. And I think that probably tells you all you need to know about how excited I am for the livery. It is. It's fine. It's the merch is nicer this year. They've got rid of the predominant
lurid green
and gone for a bit more of a cleaner, smarter look, I would say. But yeah, the livery is much for muchness. It's not going to win my award for livery of the year.
If you haven't seen any of the liveries from what they've run in testing, like Plato Racing, they've been running a specific testing livery. Go and have a look on our Facebook page and Instagram for pictures that we've managed to acquire along the way to see what those new cars look like.
Absolutely. Talking of liveries as well, we might as well get over on the subject. We've obviously seen the PMR ones that we discussed, and Restart Racing released theirs this week as well. A slight change from last year's is a little bit less busy, and more of the colour is focused at the back of the car rather than the front. I think it looks quite nice. It was quite clean. It looks quite smart.
As people will know, I'm glad to see it being a little less busy. I just hope that doesn't mean that they might struggle for money throughout the season. But yeah, it's a fairly clean cut car, and quite a jazzy release video.
Yeah, I quite like to say it's quite a smart livery. I don't think it's going to be my livery of the season, but it's certainly a more interesting one than Virtue, in my opinion. And it looks, again, hard to describe it. Almost looks like a Forza livery or something that someone's designed in a good way. But it does look very smart and looks a bit sort of racing gamey, which is good. One thing to say ahead of the season start is that the timetables are now all out for all 10 rounds. Now, it's important to note that...
Exciting.
It is very exciting. It's important to note that these timetables can change on the day depending on what happens and crashes and barrier repairs and all that kind of stuff. But crucially, it does give us indication of what support rating we can expect this year. And as somebody that moaned continually last year, it is a hell of a lot better than last year. So
it looks a lot fuller.
It does look a lot fuller. They've gone back to what they did a couple of years ago of getting guest series in for certain events, which I don't understand why that didn't happen last year, but we're over last year and what moving do into you this mean? Year.
They have the junior program written.
Yeah. Well, we've still not got the junior program. That is hopefully coming next year. Watch this space.
Okay.
But along with the usual suspects, we have got F4s. We have got what I call big Porsches, which is the Carrera Cup Great Britain. We've got the Porsche Sprints, which is the littler Porsches. And we've got the Mini Challenge. But we've also got three rounds this year, the Legends, which are the small sort of hot roddy racing, which are fantastic. We've got four events that are being supported by Caterhams, which it'd be interesting
different
to see.
Different variations of Caterhams across those events, but sometimes give good close-to-close racing.
We've got the Mini Sevens, which are the slightly smaller minis at one event. We've got the Mini Miglias, which are the tiny minis that run seven abreast through the fastest track in the country at Thruxton. And that normally means we'll be seeing Mike Jordan and Andy Jordan, because they tend to be racing in that series. And also, I think Jeff Smith has been in that series in the past as well. So we might see some old touring car alumni in that series at Thruxton. And we've also got Owen Park, something quite interesting. We've seen it at Croft before, which is the classic touring cars, which is anything from the pre-83.
Pre-83 touring cars. So you'll be seeing like Ford Escorts, Cortina and stuff like that, which I think should be good and a bit of a historic throwback.
It's always a bit different.
Like, nice to see. It's a shame it's not the Super Tourers, but they have their own event, I think, down at Brands, which you should go and check out if you haven't done already.
Absolutely. But it is nice to see some different different support on the grid. And actually, the pre-83 stuff, it's something a bit different. You know, you and I would never have seen those cars race, being too young. So it'd be great to see those on track. And actually, yeah, it's always great to see and smell and hear those old cars on track, because they are completely different in every possible way to the current crop of racing mobiles.
Yes, and also we've obviously got the shake-up on Saturdays for the touring cars, with having a qualifying race as well as qualifying and a single 40-minute practice session. And you can go onto the BTCC website, look at all the timetables for all of the events, and see when they appear throughout the calendar across the year.
And ahead of the season, we will be doing a 10 minutes with to explain how Saturdays are going to work.
Once we understand it.
I've managed to see a graphic from a team that have explained it in bite-sized chunks that they're more on like I can understand. So we will be doing it. I haven't shared with you yet, but we will be doing a 10 minutes with before the start of the season. So keep an eye on our socials for that one. And then finally, in terms of news roundup, we have had an unofficial sort of test at Snetterton this week. I say unofficial because it's not timed in the same way the Croft one is. And again, the usual suspects are there. Jason Plato's outfit was there with the two drivers of Daniel Rowbottom and Adam Morgan. But also, crucially, we did see a new driver in a Hyundai going out for what we assume would be Team Virtue. Mm-hmm. Nick Hamilton has been on the track this week in one of those cars.
Yeah, there were rumours in the early part of the season, early part of this year, that Hamilton had obviously got his race licence. He posted that on social media and would be looking for a drive for the 2026 season. And then everything went a little bit quiet for a couple of weeks. But yeah, he sprung up at Snetterton with Hamilton 28, his race number on the side of one of the Hyundais. No livery on that car at all. Very much how sort of like the Toyota's main Toyota team have been running. So it does look more than likely that he will be taking a seat at Virtue. Whether he has a teammate is yet to be seen. I'm kind of thinking that he probably won't.
I agree with you.
So I think it will just be the three drivers at Virtue, with obviously the two Toms being the main orchestrators in that team.
I think we'll see a fourth driver come in partway through the season, is my honest opinion. I think that, yeah, that's what we'll see run. I don't think it's a particularly strong look for Virtue, a team that have won. I'm not talking about Nicky, I'm talking about the wider point that
considering the team that they had last season, the drivers that they had, it was a really strong lineup where you thought,
well, in the end, it was.
They can,
because let's not forget, they kind of did this thing last. This basically is repeating itself from last year, but Kreese was a last minute. Announcement at the team, arrived on media day from America, not able to drive the car. So his first outing in it was at the season opener. And you kind of feel like a big team like Virtue, who have won major honours, would have learnt from this. But
is it a little bit of a cost-cutting exercise from them?
Well, quite possibly. Look, we know that, you know, those other two seats will probably require a little bit more sponsorship. They haven't got the two Toms behind it in the same way. But I don't know. It's just, I kind of feel with Nick, it's very late for him to be testing. Okay, it's better to do something than nothing, but late in the day.
What makes it a little more challenging for him especially is obviously the disability that he runs with. He's run that in the Cupra in recent seasons, and he will have had a car specifically set up that way.
Yeah,
I think it's a lot of work for Virtue to do, and don't get me wrong, they're a team that should be able to do it, but it might take quite a lot of adaption for him.
Yeah, that's also fair. That might explain slightly why it's a bit late to testing. But yeah, I just think from Virtue, it'd be a real shame for them to go from what they had last year to come down to a three-car team this season. I think that would be, it's not a great look for the
especially
champions.
Especially when you see a team like PMR and the struggles that they had last season go up to a three-car team.
Yes, and new cars.
Completely
agree.
Yeah, it's bizarre how things happen on the grid, but that's the way they do happen. And I think we'll only know fully what the lineup will be at Media Day when all of the drivers are then announced.
Maybe One Motorsport will be there. Or maybe not.
Or maybe not.
We've not seen hide nor hair of them. I've not seen anything online to suggest that they will be back. So, yeah, I don't see that happening. So I think that sums up all the team news. Obviously, we have, at the minute, got five seats to be announced, as I make it, which are all three licenses at WSR. Although, given the amount of running Leon and Rainford have done in the cars, you'd be fairly confident that they will be at WSR for the season, but they have got a spare seat or spare license, I should say. There, they haven't
spare car.
Yes,
so they keep bringing around places with them.
So that could end up being filled. We'll have to see. And then, of course, we've got the two seats at Virtue. Although I would expect now, from what we've seen this week, Hamilton's been one of those, and the other one. Look, I've seen all kinds of names attached to the fourth seat. I honestly don't think it gets filled at this stage. Or if it does, what I don't want to see is the merry-go-round, and I don't think Virtue, a team like that, should be having another merry-go-round that they did last season. And to be honest with you, I think that you don't see that from other top teams, is all I'm going to say on that point.
You don't. Mentioning Media Day then.
Yes.
We'll get on to it. We will be going down to Brands Hatch next Wednesday. That's Wednesday the 8th of April. We're going to be down there nice and early for when it starts. Generally, Media Day is run in a certain way where you'll have 2 4-hour testing sessions, as they were, but there'll be a lot of media work beforehand. So they're going to do the running shoots for all the promo stuff for all the cars for the whole season, basically, where they get all the drivers and cars lined up on the grid, that classic sort of like aerial shot of the whole grid in formation, as long as all the drivers and cars are there.
Yep. Well, yeah, they'll do the ones that are there.
And then they'll do running shots as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Then the rest of the day is pretty much, if you're going, up to you, really. The whole thing is time. So if you are at home, you can or should be able to keep up with it on somewhere like TSL. I'd have thought they would be doing the official timing for it. And then if you're there on the day, basically you can just walk around the track. You'll see lots of cars on track doing various testing programs. There will likely be a red flag at some point. There always is. Apologies if there's not, I've ruined that. And then there's normally a chance also to have a pit lane walkabout. Now, these happen throughout the season. There is normally around about lunchtime or at the start of the day, depending on the timetable, there is a pit lane walkabout. What I would say is that if you're particularly keen on getting a driver's autograph, this is probably your best time to do it, because this will be a lot quieter than the ones, or should be a lot quieter than the ones you'll get during the season, where obviously the tracks are a lot fuller. You can leave early. There's no obligation to stay all day. You might want to come down for a couple of hours and go home. We shall be there all day, because we've got a lot of shots to do and a lot of things to see and speak to.
Crucially, tickets are free as well. So you can just rock up and come in. And be able to see touring cars in the flesh, free of charge. If you're brand new to the sport, it's a perfect opportunity to go, am I going to like this?
Yeah. There will be no racing, so there'll be no on-track action in terms of that way. But as you just rightly said there, if you're thinking about, is this something I want to come and see further down the line in the season for a full weekend or a Saturday or a Sunday, then yeah, this will absolutely give you a taste of sort of the sights, the sounds, that kind of thing that you can expect to see as the season develops.
Yeah, and one small positive I hadn't thought about until now is, if you are getting into the sport and you want to understand it and want to watch a little bit of it, generally Saturday tickets are a little bit cheaper, and now you get a touring car race.
Oh, you're sounding just like Adam Weaver.
A touring car race on the Saturday. So if you don't want to do a full Sunday of racing, bit too much for you or something, or you haven't got the time to commit to a Sunday and you want to get down there on Saturday, by all means, and hopefully you enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely. I say this is a really good opportunity if you're on the fence about going to an event and what to expect, to come along to Media Day to see how it goes. And I say if you know, you don't have to stay all day because you're not going to miss anything in that way. But yeah, we're looking forward to it. We always, you know, like to spend the day walking around, getting as many photographs as we can, try and get a few driver interviews as we go through, see what challenges Brands Hatch presents to us in that front, because obviously last year it was at Donington, which is a bit of an easier paddock to access.
Yep.
We'll have to see what happens with
a bigger circuit to walk around.
Well, there is that as well. Yeah. So yeah, we're looking forward to it. As I say, if you are there and you see us, by all means, come along, have a chat, get our opinions on the upcoming season, give us yours. We're always happy to have a chat. We had that last year, Media Day, a couple of chats with some people, which was very nice.
Yeah,
it's always good. We're always happy to say hello. I'll have had a coffee by the time we get there, so I should be a bit, I won't be grumpy for the early morning start, because I think we're leaving about 6 a.m. So yep,
it's going to be a long day, but we'll get it sorted.
Absolutely.
And all the pictures that we take there, we'll try and put as many up on our social media as possible. And we're also going to be doing a booklet for the upcoming season, so absolutely, you can know who the drivers, teams, rules, all the bits and pieces you need to know, all the key essentials for the 2026 season.
It's basically a program which you'd normally pay £7 for, which you pay nothing for. Yep. So there you go.
And just, most of our facts are right.
Most of them. Well, it just doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't matter. I can put your picture in for something like James Dorn and see what happens. I mean, that's how the programs run. So yeah, I think that pretty much covers Media Day, to be fair.
Yeah, we'll bring you a review of our Media Day experiences, hopefully with, as Russ said, those interviews that we may get with some drivers, who's looking quick, who's not, who actually turns up and who doesn't, ahead of the 2026 season starting later this month.
Yep. Finally, thank you so much for the support we've had to the point of this video. It's absolutely taken off in the last couple of weeks. So that's great to see. By all means, in the comments, comment whether you think we'll see one motorsport at Media Day. yes or no, will we see them? Comment down below. As ever, thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing. Keep subscribing to YouTube. That number is going up and up and up and up. And we're very happy to see that. And it's obviously helping our algorithms. We've heard from a few people that they've been watching other racing videos and we've been a suggested video, which is really helping. Your likes, your subscriptions are really helping push our videos into the algorithms now, which means we can get to more people, which means we can continue to grow and bring you what I like to think is great content.
I think so too. But until next time, we'll be back again. Thanks very much.
Bye for now. As April draw, I'll start again.
Good start, mate.
Good start. I always have to mess up one. It then makes the rest of the pod go quicker. Right. With the for fuck.
Hey, that's two.
That's two. Right. Okay. Right. Okay. Let's go. This is what I imagine Bruce Forsyth used to go through.